Kings chapter 3 gives us an insight into the downfall of Solomon. Solomon, at one point, was the wisest man that ever lived. You remember the story? He asked God, what would you want me to give you? And he didn't. God was so impressed with Solomon's answer because he didn't ask for the life of his enemies. He didn't ask for riches. He asked for wisdom and understanding. I want you to understand that in the fact that we need the same thing. The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Why do you ask God for wisdom? Because he's got all wisdom. We don't have any. And so what we need to realize is the fact that Solomon was wise in that decision, and God not only gave him all the wealth, he was the wealthiest man that ever lived, and I believe that includes today. And he was also the wisest man. But he made some serious mistakes. And what he does is, in this particular passage, we're going to read about one of the mistakes, and this was his biggest downfall. I use this as a lesson sometimes for the teenagers, because men, doesn't matter whether it's the strongest man in the Bible, and that was Samson, doesn't matter whether it's the wisest man in the Bible, and that was Solomon, doesn't matter if it was a man after God's own heart, David, they all let their lust for females get to them and ruin their testimony. Let's stand in honor of the Word of God. We're going to talk about affinity, A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y. What on earth is affinity, preacher? Well, you'll know by the time this message is done. We're just going to read these first three verses. And it says, and Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Only the people sacrificed in high places because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, and walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. Now I've entitled this message, Affinity with the World. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your many blessings. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us understand this danger of affinity. And Lord, we ask you to move in a special way. We know that you have a purpose. You have a message for your people. We're gathered here around your spiritual table, wanting to feast on the spiritual bread, the Word of God. And Lord, we need your help. We need your Spirit to teach us and preach to us the message you have for us. Use this time to make us a little bit more like Jesus. For it's in that holy name, that mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You can be seated. You say, what on earth is affinity? Well, I want you to get this in the fact that Solomon, what he did is to keep peace between his kingdom and other kingdoms. They would actually intermarry between them. And so what Solomon did is he married the daughter of Pharaoh so that there'd be no war between Israel and Egypt. And if you recall the story about Solomon, he had 300 wives and 700 concubines. Why would he do such a silly thing? I'll be honest with you. And a lot of things, and you read some of the wise decisions that he made, but that was dumb. I'm going to tell you, that was dumb. Why would you want 1,000 mother-in-laws? guess what? But I want you to understand, you and I sometimes make affinity too. You see, affinity has to do with making an agreement between two parties. What breaks my heart is when I see churches make affinity with the devil's crowd. And what? How do they do that, preacher? Well, for one thing, I know of a Bible college in Lakeland that made affinity with the government. They took the government's accreditation. What used to be Southeastern Bible College is now called Southeastern University. And you say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, I guarantee you, anytime you take the government's money, there are strings attached. When I worked for the city of Lakeland, driving the city bus, I told them up front that I could not work on Sunday. But they started working on Sundays, and I was about ready to quit. I ended up having a schedule that required me to work on Sundays, I'd have had to quit. Well, that one hurricane came along, and they called me and said they want me to be, if they call me during the weekend, that I have to be here. You know what that is? That's a string. I want you to understand, I was working for them, and that one of the strings that they had attached to me is they were requiring me not to be so dedicated to the church and turn right around, and they punished me when I didn't show up. Guess what? I wasn't going to be there. I told them when I hired in that I'm not going to be here. Sunday's my day for, I've got a job. God called me to, I'm employed by Him.
Amen.
And I'm definitely not going to get in trouble with Him over a stinking job.
That's right.
They didn't understand that. But I got news for you. They were putting strings on me, and I want you to get this in the fact that when we make agreements with certain companies or certain groups, when we make an agreement with the government, guess what? There's strings attached. And those strings will pull you in a way that they want you to go, and all of a sudden, you're no longer independent. You're a puppet. And they're pulling those strings and making you dance to their tune. I've got a book in my library. It's one of my favorite books. It's called Moody's Notes from My Bible. And it was printed in 1898. And in the back of that book, it's what used to be a library book from Southeastern Bible College. Still got the card place in the back. But somebody dug it out of a dumpster when Southeastern Bible College became Southeastern University. To accept the government's money, you have to either increase your library by 10% of new books or decrease your library of 10% of the old books. And it gets real expensive to buy 10% new books every year. So a lot of them get rid of the old books. And that's where what they did with these. They threw these old books in the dumpster. Now I'm glad they did, because somebody gave me that one and several others. But why would they do such a stupid thing? It's one of the strings attached with the money that they got from the government when they went accreditation. One of the things that Landmark Baptist College is not, is they are not accredited by the government. I could be making a lot more money than I do if I was with my secular job, if I had a doctorate from an accredited college. But do you know what comes along with the government's accreditation? The strings. And the strings tell, and by the way, what does the government know about training preachers? They can't even train politicians. I wish they'd give me a few of them for a while. But anyway, but the truth is, I want us to understand that Solomon's strings attached when he married the daughter of Pharaoh, he had an affinity, or he had strings attached that he could not. They did that because they didn't want a war between the two countries. And I want you to understand, you and I have sometimes dangerous affinities. When I was in the Southern Baptist Convention, they had affinities with Bible colleges that I didn't agree with. Some of the professors in the Bible colleges were Calvinistic. Some of them did not believe the King James Bible. In fact, that was one of the things that made me leave the convention, was the fact that the cooperative program did not purchase King James Bibles, but the modern Bibles. And I didn't want my tithe money going into any stinking modern Bible. But this word affinity simply means that there's strings attached. You're agreeing with the devil. Go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 18. Just a few books to your right. 2 Chronicles chapter 18. Somebody else makes an affinity in the Bible. You only find this word three times in the Word of God. That's why you might not be real familiar with it. But it's also found here in verse 1 of chapter 18 of 2 Chronicles. It says, "Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance and joined affinity with Ahab." Now, affinity can mean, like Solomon did, where you actually marry into and marry a member of that family, a daughter. But it doesn't necessarily mean that. If you remember the story where Jehoshaphat, he stands there before Ahab and he says, "My horses are as your horses, and my men are as your men, and I am as ye are." And he was talking about the fact that they were brothers. And I agree that to a degree in the physical, they were brothers as far as the fact that they were descendants from Abraham and descendants of Jacob, because they were of Israel. But Jehoshaphat made an affinity. I'm going to call it what it is. He made affinity with the devil. Because Ahab was nothing more than a devil-worshipping king. And had a witch for a wife. And what I want you to see is the fact that good people can make an affinity and really mess their life up. You can really make an affinity with a company, with the government, with people, with groups. It doesn't matter. There are a lot of affinities out there, a lot of strings attached, and the devil doesn't care which kind of lasso he throws around you as long as he pulls you out of the will of God. He's got a plan for you just like God does. He's got a plan to try to destroy your testimony. He's got a plan to try to mess your life up. He's got a plan to see your loved ones go to hell so you can't influence them. And it all comes from these affinities that we make. Go to Ezra chapter 9. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job. So you keep going right. Ezra chapter 9, and here we're going to see the third time and the final time that the word affinity is used in the scriptures. And I'm going to start with verse 12, and it says, "Now therefore," this is Ezra talking, he's saying, "Now therefore give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, nor seek their peace or their wealth forever, that ye may be strong and eat the good of the land and leave it for an inheritance to your children forever. And after all that is come upon us for our evil deeds and for our trespass, seeing that thou, our God, hast punished us less than our iniquities deserve, and hast given us such deliverance as this, should we again break thy commandments and join in affinity with the people of these abominations? Wouldest thou not be angry with us till thou hadst consumed us, so that there should be no remnant nor escaping? O Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous, for we remain yet escaped, as it is this day. Behold, we are before thee, in our trespasses, for we cannot stand before thee because of this." Ezra is clearly saying here that Israel had messed up by not obeying God's commandments and keeping themselves from making affinities with the lost people, with the pagans, with the groups that they had been forbidden to. That's one of the things, and you have to, if you understand this concept, then you also understand why it was so important for Isaac to send Jacob back to Sarah's, or to Rachel's family to find a wife, or to Rebecca's family to find a wife for Jacob. And I want you to understand, there are times when God has clear indications in the Bible for us to avoid these things. And you say, well, this is just Old Testament. Well, let's see if there's a principle here that follows into the New Testament. Go to 2 Corinthians, chapter 6. Start with verse 11. It says, "O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in our own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." That passage right there, verse 17, it says, "Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." And I've got Daniel chapter 1, verse 8 written next to that. If you know a little bit about what that verse is where Daniel speaks up, and the Bible says that Daniel purposed in his heart he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. I want you to understand, we need to understand that God wants us to keep ourselves clean.
Amen.
He wants clean vessels to use. And I use this sometimes for the church from time to time, but I want you to understand, when you go to the kitchen, you don't want to use a dirty glass. How do you feel when you get to the restaurant and they give you a glass or silverware or a plate that's got crud on it? Dried, creepy crud. I'm telling you, this is going back. Yes, sir. In fact, I'm hoping that I don't throw up while I'm passing it back to them. Hey, God doesn't want something that's dirty either. He wants clean vessels. And that's what this verse is saying. But back up to verse 14, that's exactly what we're talking about. The affinity. The affinity is to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That's what it means. It means not to allow the devil's crowd, not to allow the situation that you're in. I don't care whether it's marriage. I don't care. Hey, now there are times when two lost people get married. And then one will get saved. Was that wrong? No. They were lost. They weren't. That wasn't unequally yoked. They're unequally yoked when one gets saved, but they were yoked before that was an unequal yoke. It creates problems, no doubt. But would you rather both of them die without Jesus? No. It creates a problem sometimes. I agree. But guess what? But my goal, and this is what I tell people when they come to me to get married, is I tell them right up front, I can't marry you unless you're both saved or both lost. I can marry two lost people, but I'm going to get a chance to share Christ with them if, either way. But I got to counsel with them to start with. But this is talking about, it's not just talking about husbands and wives. We're not supposed to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers anywhere. Now, I'm not saying, there were times when somebody would point to this passage and our church team would play softball against another church team and it wasn't a Christian team. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about being yoked together. It's talking about having some agreement, some tie together with certain people. And we as Christians need to be careful with those things. Just like with me, with my job, I did everything I could to let them know that I don't work on Sundays. When they hired me at the pre-employment interview. So I felt like I did my job. I did what I needed to do. And when I didn't show up, they had something they had to do. But I wasn't going to let them keep me out of my pulpit. The pulpit that God has given me. One more place. Go to James chapter 4. Right after Hebrews. Hebrews, James, 1st and 2nd Peter. James chapter 4 tells us some things about worldliness and the rebuke of worldliness. And starting with verse 1, it says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have. Ye cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." Look at verse 4, and it says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." I want you to understand that's where we get that word enmity. It's closely related and a root word of enemy. Okay? And it's saying if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. It's easier to see today in the world today because so many of the people that are friends of God are considered enemies by the devil's kids. We see things that they don't. I put on Facebook not just last few days, one of the things that makes my brain hurt is to try to figure out liberals. And I've made this statement before, you can't speak rationally to irrational people. You can't understand them. They can't understand you. Why? Because 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 says, it tells us the fact that he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. You know why they're confounded? Because they don't believe in him. They don't believe in Jesus. That'll cause your mind to get pickled every time. But I want you to understand this word of affinity has to do with connections. It can be with internet connections. I got people on my friend list on Facebook that I've never seen, never met. And why do you accept them, preacher? Well, those of you who follow me, I use a lot of Bible. I use a lot of Bible lessons. That's one of my teaching tools. And I've always used it that way. In fact, a lot of times the paragraph that's in the bulletin will end up on my Facebook page. Because I want to teach people. And I don't care whether it's politics, I don't care whether it's Bible, I'm going to give them back up what I believe in politics with the Bible. Amen. Okay? The Bible is who I am. God's opinion is my opinion. And what we need to do is to realize this world doesn't like us.
That's right.
And if we joined up with certain people, if you had a business, and I know some people that have trouble with this, if you have a business and one person is a Christian and you partner up with somebody that's not, there's always going to be problems. Those of us that work outside of the ministry, guess what? We're going to have problems with people that aren't saved.
That's right.
That's one of the joys I have of going back to the college. I believe like they do. They believe like I do. They trained me. They didn't tell me, well, this is what you got to believe. They gave me Bible for it.
Amen.
That's why I give you Bible for what I say and what I preach.
That's right.
And these connections that we have, these ties that we have as Christians, we've got to be real careful with them. Because people will pull you the wrong way. The devil will pull you the wrong way. What do you do about it, preacher? Well, you listen to the Lord first.
Right.
And let him make the decision as to whether you tie up with that or not. When I got that, like I said, when I got that job at the driving the city bus, I told them up front, I'm a pastor and I can't work on Sundays. And they said, well, that's fine because we don't drive on Sundays. And at that time they didn't. But then they started adding Sundays. And then they had that particular emergency situation for the hurricane. And I told them I still can't come. And you say, well, why? And they couldn't understand that because they were saying lives are at stake. I got news for you. I'm concerned more about souls.
That's right.
I've got a flock to take care of. And I don't think they understood it maybe until my resignation letter when I told them that I am the CEO of Bible Baptist Church. And I'm responsible for this church. And I'm responsible to somebody a whole lot higher than they are. And had I not shown up to church that Sunday morning, I think I'd have had a finger in my face when I met the Lord. because this is what he called me to do. I think about Solomon and thought, this morning we talked about Joab and where he was and trying to make sure that David didn't number the people. And Joab tried his best to keep David from numbering the people. And it didn't help. But it makes me wonder, where was Solomon's Joab? He needed one. He needed somebody to tell him, hey, you don't need to do this. Why did he do that? I'm going to tell you where it all rolls back around. He didn't trust the Lord enough. And where you and I get into trouble a lot of times is we just don't trust the Lord enough. And we have these ties, we have these friendships, we have these affinities, however you want to call it. And what we do is we get caught up in these things and they pull us out of the will of God. They pull us away from our love for Christ. Just like they did Solomon. Just like they did Jehoshaphat. If you know the story about Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat just about lost his life because of that affinity with Ahab. And I'll tell you, there's a lesson there, because we could lose our life if we yoke up with the devil too.
That's right.
Which is exactly what he did. This world is not our friend.
Right.
This passage right here says, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. I enjoy a ball game from time to time. I don't watch pro sports anymore. Amen. Guess what? They're against my country. They're not going to stand for the Star Spangled Banner. I'd like to put them all on an island and let them just starve. Well, maybe not starve. I'll give them some blue to eat. But anyway, but if they don't want to be here, if they're not happy to be here, why are you here?
Right.
I'm not saying that we shouldn't enjoy certain things. I enjoy going out shooting. I don't do it as much as I'd like to, but I like doing things like that. But one of the things that I need to do, and you need to do, is to make sure that we keep ourselves from the influences of this old nasty world. And if we don't, mark my words, you'll pay a price. The Bible says we'll pay a price. Ezra told the people, he said, are we going to break the commandments again and join affinity unto these people? These abominations. We as Christians, we've got a Bible, we know better.
Amen.
I'm glad that I've had people teach me better. And that's right. What we're doing tonight. We're just kind of shoring up some things. Because this world will pull us and chew us up and spit us out.
That's right.
All the devil's doing is he'll toss out a hook here. And he'll toss out a hook here. And he'll toss out a hook here. And say, them crazy people at Bible Baptist Church, I can't get none of them to bite on that hook. Amen.
That's right.
That's the way it ought to be. Amen.
Amen.
We don't want to make affinities with the world, because it'll sure cost us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. And Lord, I thank you for the people that in my life that have warned me about these affinities, about being unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And so, Lord, I come before you asking you to do something mighty in our midst. And Lord, we've got an invitation here, and Lord, we want you to move. And Lord, I thank you for this this one word that's only used three times in Scripture, but the principles throughout the Word. And Lord, help us to remain a friend of God, not an enemy. Use the invitation for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.